Welcome to Move Wild Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Clapson. The aim of this podcast is to explore, learn, and spread the message of rewilding and natural movement so that we as humans can live in more alignment with our nature and reclaim what it means to be fully alive. The modern world has stripped away so much that used to nourish our mind, body, and soul. This podcast will help illuminate how we can reclaim and restore our innate, wild, capable, and strong spirit. Thanks for joining me on this journey. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Move Wild Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. So I'm releasing this episode a day late just because I had a few technical issues, but still better late than never. So today I have the pleasure of sharing a conversation I recorded a while back with Monty Sharma. Monty is the founder of Urban Botanica Collective and has a background in industrial design. After spending a 4-year journey within corporate and privatized engineering, he has taken the plunge to connect more deeply with a purpose of passion fueled by nature. Recently arriving home from a 5-month journey traveling across and through Central America, working within permaculture centers, connecting with medicinal plants and mushrooms, has arrived back home to share his vision for a greener future. This was an awesome conversation. I'm looking forward to what you guys think of it. So let's jump into it. Listen in after the show for how you can connect with Monty and how you can connect with me.
So thanks for coming on and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to meet other people with nature inspired projects.
Yeah, man.
It's nice to connect.
Absolutely. So to start with, I like to get a little bit of the backstory of all my guests. So can you share what was your journey and kind of how you got into permaculture and maybe design as well, and what you do today?
Yeah, wow. It's a bit of a journey. So the last kind of 4.5 years I spent in corporate engineering and privatized engineering, designing within like the urban sensitive water design field, civil engineering. And you know, it gave me, like, looking back, it gave me a lot of perspective into how our land's managed, how we're cleaning our water, like how buildings are getting put up, like what things people are considering when we're really like ripping up our land when you think about it. And this insight, I think, has kind of like to be honest, it like after like the first few years, it was like, yeah, money, cool, this is awesome. And then after a while, I'm just like, wow, I'm about to like cut a corridor for this koala habitat. How do I feel about that?
Yeah.
I don't feel super good about it. And then like this just kept coming and happening, and we were cutting through all these bits of land, and I really started to go into like a spiral of like, you know, like, holy crap, like this is not aligning with me. I feel really bad about this. I'm not going to work every day feeling super upset. Like, I'm not feeling inspired, not feeling passionate about what I'm doing. And kind of what happened, that was like 2 years into the 4-year journey. And then I just went, okay, I need to start transitioning. Something needs to change. Something's not right. And so over the next 2 years, I like moved back home. I was still within the same field, but I was developing products. So I have a background in industrial design. So I like work a lot in 3D CAD spaces and designing products and then getting them manufactured and made in factory. So even that in itself is a lot of waste.
Yeah.
And so I kind of started to spend a lot of time in nature. And that's like the only place that I knew I enjoyed. And so I just started doing these deep, like 2-day, 3-day hikes with my friends, and just in all that silence and that, you know, those beautiful sounds that nature makes, like the hum of all the insects, the sounds of all the birds, like going down and finding mushrooms and like looking at these beautiful like flowers that are blooming in the forest, and just like the simple things, you know, the really, really simple things, and appreciating them. I think I found out that nature was my ultimate teacher.
Yeah.
In that point, and then I kind of set out on a journey to align a lifestyle that aligned with my heart and who I was. And so I actually have a quote here. This is really awesome poet. His name is John Muir, and he said that in every walk with nature, one receives far more than he seeks. And so that's pretty much what happened. You know, just the seeing something and the thought of what that could be in our world.
Yeah.
You know, like that's how every single idea, I think, to today has been spawned from. It's been inspired by nature. And so that's when I started my business with Urban Botanica Collective, trying to, the business model is kind of based around how can we connect people back with nature.
Yes.
So, and you know, that's kind of just been my first kind of journey, the first, like just my first year and a half.
Yeah.
In that world. So yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at.
Yeah. Sweet. What are some like practical ways that you're doing that, connecting people through nature? I know you've got a bit of a background in permaculture. And I'd be interested in like, what are the ways that you're actually doing that and implementing that?
Yeah. So, I actually just got back from a 5-month trip in, Central America. And, in that time I did a two month journey into working on a permaculture farm. And one of the biggest ones in Central America, it's called Punta Mona, and it's run by Stephen Brooks, who's an absolutely incredible permaculturist and plant collector. He has botanical, medicinal, and he has over 3 permaculture centers in Costa Rica. And wow. He's also one of the founders of the Envision Festival. And so I knew I had to, like, I could either go study more or I could go do permaculture. So I was like, that's it. I'm packing everything up. I'm going to Costa Rica and I'm going to upskill myself and literally, truly living that life. And so I went to this permaculture center. I spent 2 months in there. And in there, we just learn about regenerative, sustainable, and all the permaculture principles that are like, that are aligned and with, I think, moving the world forward in a really beautiful, quite like methodical, like conscious, beautiful way. And there's also a lot of medicinal plants. Being in the Caribbean, we had a lot of herbalists on site. So it, you know, in the Caribbean you have so much biological activity that like people were getting sick nonstop. These people that at a stage one, they would come in with a stage one problem, let's just say like their digestive system wasn't super good. You come into the jungle will try and eat you up, you know, like the jungle will throw things at your body that you're not used to. And so it was this beautiful interaction of coming into nature to deeply disconnect from everything, to have the silence that I was talking about. And then like just using what was around us to heal ourselves. And so we would make teas and tinctures and we would cook, you know, food became medicine. Plants became medicine. You know, every plant has a unique, if we want to talk about alternative medicine, every plant has like a substance which will help your body.
Yeah.
Every plant in the world. And sometimes it's a poison and sometimes it's something like coriander. And not everyone loves coriander, but it's a great digestive herb. You know, like there's just so many different ways you can take care of your body. And so this is kind of what I'm really interested in, is how can we look at nature and what has been created from it, and how can we kind of help our body on a stage one level so that things don't get to a stage 5 or 6 or stage 4 or stage 3. We're really like listening to our body. We're being more connected to our body. And when we start to feel and see symptoms within our body, we look to nature and we kind of consume and use the patterns of that, of your, like, I mean, we've become our own doctor.
Yeah.
And plants are our medicine. That's pretty much where I want to be. And I think the design mind in all of this is, I saw patterns. So designers see patterns. Like you see, for example, if you see a hole in the market, that's you seeing patterns.
Yeah.
And then you know what product you need to put there
to
make the biggest impact. And so I'm a person that sees patterns, and there's so many patterns in nature. I think you would know that. Everyone knows that. You can see a lot of stuff, like leaf shapes. You can see these beautiful geometries of flowers. You can see the way mushrooms like come out of the ground. There's always different gill types, different colors, different shapes. There's a reason why they're that way. There's a reason why they've adapted to be that way.
Yeah.
Nothing is the way it is just because that's the way it is. There's like a very unique adaptation that's happened there. Sure. And they have medicine that is perfectly adapted to be inside our body.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. How do we, so much of that knowledge of plant medicines or these different medicines that are found out in nature seems to have been lost. So how do we like find that knowledge and how do we reintegrate it into our lives? And as you say, kind of become our own doctor through understanding nature.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, Uncle Google is definitely like the starting point, but I guess the problem with that is, you know, that's information. It's not knowledge, right? And so through practicing, practicing with these herbs and practicing with mushrooms and finding a way to actually integrate them into our lives in a way that's beneficial, that's really important. And so I'm quite lucky in regards that I have a lot of herbalist friends. But I guess like one of the functions of my business is to be the gateway.
Yeah.
That. So I'd love to start processing tinctures and dry herbs. And there's a lot of resource centers that, you know, for example, like I would recommend like going and looking at some modern day herbalists, you know, like I know that, you know, there's so many people on Instagram that I know that are my herbalists that I know, and they are incredible. And if you just look at maybe some of their products, some of their products that they make, you don't need to even buy them. You can just see what herbs they're using. And they can be like, you will see, for example, it'll be like a blend and it'll be like a digestive blend. And then you can look at the herbs there and you can do a little bit of research yourself. And I think this is important because it's really showing that you have curiosity about yourself and then you're testing and actioning.
Yeah.
But you know, you're making very well considered, like kind of like a logical way of like trying to understand what's happening. Like I wouldn't suggest being like, I have a sore stomach, I'm just going to go like half a bunch of this stuff. Like that doesn't sound super smart to me, but there's so many resources that are available to us. Like I'm really fortunate. I'm sitting here in front of me and I have like two big books that I have like been given. And then I've like translated the information to make it relevant to me. So even just maybe in your journal, just be like, today I was, you know, after I ate this bread, I like got a really sore stomach, and like document that and be like, okay, well, let's try and understand what that is. Like, for example, when like my health journey has been pretty crazy as well. Like I've lost around like 25 kilos in about a year, just I literally knew nothing about plants. I just knew they were awesome. But I just moved to a completely different plant-based diet. I completely built a whole new meal plan based around plant-based food. And then looking at all my proteins, all my vitamins, like how much I was going to eat, like removing carbs. And through that journey, I was able to, just through exploration, I found a really awesome way to be able to do that. Because all the information is like, we live in such an awesome age of human existence. Like you can literally pick up this little, like, you know, like 10 centimeter by 5 centimeter device and literally get access to anything you want. There's YouTube videos out there, there's massive infographics, there's books as well. Like I've got a book, it's like the like top plants of medicinal plants of Costa Rica. So pretty much every plant we used on the farm is on there. And it has a full in-depth breakdown. So yeah, books are really another way to really connect more deeply with what the old world is calling, you know, witches or, you know, these shamans, but really like modern day herbalists are like this beautiful ray of light moving forward.
Yeah, interesting. I love it. That's great. Going back to permaculture, how would you kind of like, could you break that down? What is permaculture? How would you define it? And what are some of the core principles of permaculture?
Yeah, awesome. So there's like 12 points that permaculture kind of touches on. And, you know, I think there's a few different ones. Like I have a full breakdown on my podcast. It's called the Born From Nature podcast. And I'm going to just pull up all these points right now because there's 12 of them and they're pretty, I have to remember them all in order.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Here we go. Okay. So the way that permaculture works is there's kind of like three core values. And these, and this is like, this is a, like a new, it's like a framework, right? It's a framework that exists because of these two awesome dudes. Their names are Bill Morrison and David Holmgren. And they were actually from Australia. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Permaculture was born in Australia. Our soil is horrible. And these people are just like, dude, we need to do something about this. Like, look at our soil. Like, look at, like, versus like Costa Rica, that is beautiful, volcanic, super fertile. Like, just you could grow anything in it. But, yeah, you know, in Australia, it kind of makes sense, right? We needed to like change the way that we're growing.
Yeah.
And so they have these three concepts. It's care for your planet, care for people, and fair share. So that's our intention with every single one of these principles.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, awesome.
And so it's pretty cool. Like, as a framework, you can kind of apply this to yourself. And that's kind of what I've done in my work. Like it's been a process of integration and how I can feasibly use these principles in my life to make them better. Like if I have a problem come up for me, I just stick my permaculture lens on and I'm like, ooh, that's a really interesting way to look at that. So the first one is observe and interact. Yeah. I think that we so quickly in our lives want to so quickly interact with something. We just like, we see something like, ha, quick, you know? It's like the beauty of observing is you get so much information from taking the time to observe something before you even interact with it. Yeah. Humans so quickly can get in our own way of wanting to do something by too quickly jumping into it. So really sitting back and observing, and how this could be applied would be, for example, if you're about to like, I get there's probably a lot of people right now that are probably turning to gardening. And yeah, so like looking, for example, before you even start laying out your beds, before you even choosing what herbs you're going to do, and like observing, like, where's your shade?
Yeah.
Where's your water falling? Like, you know, you can see the slope of the land. You can see which way the water is running, and you can start being really like conscious about like, oh dude, yeah, like look at all these resources I naturally have around me. I don't need to go buy this big shade because I've got this beautiful tree just right near me, you know, and that can act as a shade. Now maybe I'll put plants in there that don't need full sun. Like those are the ones that need part shade.
Yeah.
And so that's like a very practical way of viewing the observe and interact.
Yeah.
The next one is catch and store energy. So this is awesome. So look at our sun, look at our wind, look at our water, look at all these things that are naturally occurring around us. And, you know, we don't have this big turbine in the cosmos that's creating the sun. It's a natural energy that's hitting us every single day. And it's consistently going to hit us every day until it explodes.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's have a look at the sun and capture its energy.
Yeah. Like
solar panels are such an incredible way for us to be able to, like, I mean, they're not, by no means are they perfect, but they're definitely really good at capturing energy.
Yeah.
And as we invest in the technology more, we actually make the technology better. That's how it works, right?
Yeah.
You know, as we get more funds, we get more people interested in that field, and then they just, people become this beautiful set of seeds, and people start coming at it different perspectives and different ways until it's just this awesome product that like really makes a difference, you know? So
yeah, for sure.
That makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
obtain a yield. This is like one that like I think it's like the corporate world has like nailed. Like I totally like this one is like so important, because obtaining a yield is like setting an intention.
Yeah.
Like, what is your intention? And then when you really start, and this is the same thing. This is probably in the observing and interacting point as well. When you're sitting back and you're looking at something, there's things that are coming through your mind. And this is your unique way of processing what's happening, right? And when you're processing these things, you're coming up with ideas, and these ideas have a certain tangibility to them. And we need to always pull them back to our value. Like, what outcomes do we want to have? What obtainable goals can we get to make, you know, let's not think about ourselves all the time. Like, we're all humans. We always want to be amazing, but it's just like, what could I learn from this that I could give back to the world?
Mm.
And that's always when you go back to those core values.
Yeah.
Fair share, our people, and planet care. Like, how is this thing going to make the world a better place?
Interesting. Like, yeah.
And I think if everyone had that mindset, we're all almost like a mycelium network. We're all connected. We all are walking the same path of change, but from a really beautiful, like, centered framework, you know?
Yeah.
Like, permaculture really does a great job at doing that. Really gets everyone on the same. They all socially agree with what's happening and how it should happen.
Yeah.
But there's no constraints, right? That's the cool thing. We're still open to be innovators.
Yeah.
And it's really important that in the innovation thing, innovation is not complexity.
Yeah.
Innovation is simplicity.
Okay. Yeah. Can you explain that? Like, why it's not complexity and it's simplicity?
Okay. So complexity is like, for example, let's just like look at your, like, let's look at any mobile device.
Yeah.
Right. If we had like 100 flashing lights on it and, you know, it had like 20 buttons on it, and let's just say it wasn't in the shape of a thing. It was like a circle and you had to hold a circle. Like, man, like, cool. It could have some really great innovations, but is it usable?
Yeah.
Do no. people like when I receive a message and there's 30 lights dinging on it, do I know I've received a message? Is it intuitive?
No.
You know?
Yeah.
No. So, and we can see this in nature. Look at a single leaf that's coming out from a tree.
Yeah.
How simple is that? But how freaking complex is it?
Yeah. It's that marriage between simplicity and complexity almost.
Exactly. Yeah. And we really need to invest our time in understanding what that is.
Right.
Because when we start to understand that, we can see the complexities. But this is definitely, I as a designer, you cannot get caught up in the complexities. We're also people who action and do, and we learn from our mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really important that we don't get caught up in that process. It's really good to consider it, but not to get stuck in it.
Yeah, I love it. That's awesome.
Okay, apply self-regulation and feedback. So you need to become your biggest critic of your own work in a beautiful way, like change the way that you're talking about, like, just like, Monty, this was a shit idea. Like, that's not going to make you feel better. It's not going to get you out of bed to do that project anymore. It's just like, Monty, why did you do it this way?
Yeah.
Are you aligning with the value that you originally set out? And I go, oh, you know what? I'm trying to cultivate mushrooms, but I might be making a lot of plastic waste.
Yeah.
For just having them in plastic bags. So how can I change that? And so I'm trying to cultivate mushrooms in masonry jars, glass and like lids, metal lids.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like, I don't know if what the, you know, the downfall, the positives of that are, but I'm going to test it on a very small scale. And then I'm going to do more of it when I know it's working.
Yeah. I love
that. And then it's feedback. So make avenues for people to give you feedback, whether you have a little okay. This is like my height. Like, you are one of those people that are out there making podcasts. You are a content creator. You are someone who's sharing information. You're sharing your gold. It's awesome. So surround yourself with people who are actioning and doing and passionate. Yeah. And get like, pull them into a Zoom room, pull them into like, make a Word doc and be like, guys, I'm doing this thing. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
You guys like this idea? And surround yourself with people who are gonna help you.
Yeah.
Get a superpower team and all help each other and, you know, really connect with each other on a whole nother level and just support each other. And all like, this is the whole idea about fair share. Yeah. As you share, someone else is getting perspective. This is beautiful. It's like no one's getting ahead of each other. Everyone is on the same level and we're all collectively as a world moving together.
Yes. I love that. That's a great concept.
That's really, really important.
Yeah.
Okay. Man, I'm just going to go. We're only up to number five and I'm just going to going at it.
Go for it.
Use and value renewables. Okay. So this is really important. So, I think that, you know, we've been trying so hard to integrate solar panels and wind and all this stuff into, like, we clearly understand that it's a very beautiful renewable resource. But it's just like, how can we do this in a more sustainable way? Well, if everyone is doing those things, the government doesn't need to invest in such humongous infrastructure.
Yeah.
To try and put money into those things, right? If everyone is putting power into the grid, how much less power do we need to generate because we're already passively capturing it?
Yeah.
And Australia is actually doing a great job of that. You know, there are regulations of collecting water into water tanks now. You know, there's a star rating that we have to adhere to, which is awesome, but we're definitely like, this is only the beginning. Like, I want to look at Google Maps and I do not want to see a roof tiled house. I want to see a full urban like garden plot on top of someone's house. Yeah. That's literally that I want to integrate with plants, with nature. This is the most radical vision, but it needs to happen. We really need to integrate with our land and understand all the renewable, beautiful resources we have around us and live with them, you know, in harmony and promote this beautiful like connection that nature wants to have with us, but we've been pushing them away for way too long.
Yeah, for you sure. Know? Develop a relationship with nature.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, so important.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, number six. So produce no waste. So this is really, so I think there's a bit of a misunderstanding about waste. So when you put stuff into the recycling, that is not no waste. You're actually still producing waste. And so it's really important that we close the loop. And what that means is things get made, they get used, they go to the point where they're going to go back into landfill and we push them back into the system. They go around the loop again. Maybe they do it one more time. Maybe they do it two more times. Maybe they do it three. Maybe they just permanently go around. Or they're naturally biodegrading into the earth and they're not creating microplastics in our world, because that will be the end of us when we are consuming plastics.
Yeah.
That will be the end of us. It's already been the end of a lot of animal races on this planet and they're dying every day. So let's stop doing that.
I love that concept and that idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Number seven, design from patterns to detail. So as a designer, this one is clearly very, you know, it aligns very, very quickly with me. Like I think, for example, that if a new piece of land was going to get ripped up, instead of someone having this cool idea of like all these awesome things they wanted to do with their house and how it was going to like their vision of what a home is, what if they really spent a year? They had to spend a whole year observing and documenting what happened on that plot of land. Where the sun was moving, where the water was moving. They had to get soil samples and see like what their soil had in it. And then they could plant plants that like got rid of that toxicity out of the soil. Like we were healing. Our intention was to heal the soil so that the foundations of our home were freaking amazing.
Yeah.
Just imagine that. Just like literally observing patterns in a block of land to make a more integrated home that you were more proud of. You didn't care about that flashy, you know, I'm all up for flashy things, but I don't think materialistic things are going to be helping us move forward.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
totally. There's really innovative ways to do that.
Yeah.
But really, are you making a home? And I actually just released the podcast with an architect, Graham Whiting. And the reality is from that is that we're all architects.
Yes.
We are all architects. We are all artists. We are all creators. We are art. We are all everything. We have these own things in our heads that make us believe that we're not something.
Yeah.
And that's exactly. Just not true.
Yeah.
So we are all architects. We all have the ability to make really informed decisions and pull up questions with people around us and hold them more accountable for what they're doing in a beautiful, like, way.
Yeah.
So designing from patterns to make a better world, let's do it.
Yeah, for sure.
Integrate, don't segregate. This is like what I've been touching on almost like the last three or four points. The integration is so crucial.
Yes.
And so it's really looking at the way that we're living with the world as a diverse ecosystem. Right now, we don't have a diverse ecosystem.
Yeah.
We've really just been coming in, putting our own view of what the world should look like and then pushing it onto the planet.
Yeah.
And so it's about really integrating.
Yeah, that's great. We seem to separate a lot in the modern world, like especially with agriculture, like monocropping is a big thing that you see. So I guess permaculture would focus on having more diversity when you're growing plants and looking at ecosystems from a more diverse perspective.
Exactly. So for example, on this permaculture farm, we had a main focus, like we had a community of 20 people, plus we held events that could have up to 80 to 100 people on the farm at a time. That is insane. Imagine trying to feed that many people. A cooking session in there, like I used to lead cooks, it's like a 5-hour cooker.
Wow.
It was insane.
That's
and
amazing.
But around us, we had a lot of perennials. Perennials are great. That means that all year they're going to produce.
Yeah.
And all year they're going to be there integrating in with the plants around them and communicating and exchanging underneath the ground and above the ground, to be honest.
Yeah.
We also had logs of mushrooms that were inoculated.
Yeah.
Place around. So all our borders of our gardens, they were inoculated with turkey tails, with like artist conks, like all these like medicinal mushrooms that as they're like breaking down this wood, they're pushing nutrients into the soil. And on top of that, we had like beds that we like flipped. So what we would do is we would get this beautiful plant called peanut grass, which is a nitrate fixer. And if you know anything about plants love to eat nitrogen. So what we do is we'd plant all these the nitrate fixers, let's just say, because there's a whole group of plants that are nitrate fixers. They're awesome. And we need to appreciate them a lot because they heal our soil. And can I just real quickly, please stop spraying chemicals onto weeds in our lawn because those are soil healers.
Right.
It's okay to pull your weeds out. But please stop spraying chemicals. Weeds are actually trying to heal our soil.
Yes.
They're flying in and landing in soil that's unusable and going, hey, I'm going to try and heal you.
Yeah, exactly. And even when we try and pull them out, often they'll just be replaced by more weeds because they're trying to do the same thing.
Exactly. And when you pull them out, you're probably just going to spread them everywhere.
So, yeah, exactly.
You know, like maybe it's showing that your soil is not healthy and that's the planet trying to speak to you. And it's just going to keep trying to speak to you until you solve the problem.
Yeah, totally. I guess it's that thing of us being short-sighted and not actually seeing how nature works and seeing that, like, actually these weeds are here for a reason and, like, nature has that system there because it's trying to regenerate soil that's not necessarily very healthy.
And once again, we go back to the society expectation that our lawn needs to be this beautiful cut piece of lawn. And that's really not the beauty in it, you know?
Yeah. It's so, very, very antithetical to nature, really. Like
exactly.
A nice clean lawn. Yeah.
It's so interesting. You can start to see these patterns.
Yeah.
See what I mean? Like you just pull up an idea and you go, oh, why is that happening?
Yeah.
Like, why are there weeds literally in my garden every time every time of the year at this, like specifically, there's mushrooms that are sprouting everywhere in Newcastle right now. And it's a very specific, I don't know what type of mushroom it is, but they all look the same. Yeah. So there's something wrong with, well, there's something great about our soil that's making these things sprout, but they're healing the soil.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting just to like get some people that know about this stuff and get them in a room and talk about it and be like, okay, we actually figured out that Newcastle soil is missing this. And this is the types of plants we should be integrating into our urban environments.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. That'd be interesting to do that.
Yeah. So it's just about starting the discussion, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So number 10, use and value diversity. So we've just literally just I've karate chopped straight through that.
Yeah.
Ecosystems. Think about everything being connected and use it. Like, know that connection between your home and its surrounding environment and you and nature, you are becoming a vessel for diversity when you have the intention to want to connect with. You are open to wanting to connect.
Yeah.
You don't have a subjective opinion of, hey, that's just a plant and it's stupid and inanimate. Dude, that plant is super smart.
Yeah.
That plant has lived just as long as your ancestors.
It exists, look at
the evolutionary chain. We literally split from mushrooms and plants at some point. That is your brother, sister, mother, grandma, whatever. You are more connected to that thing than you are to your TV screen.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. And starting to have a conversation with plants and nature. Yeah. Rather than seeing it as like something completely separate. It's just understanding the language, I guess.
Exactly. And that's, we've lost the language.
Yeah.
We don't understand the mannerisms. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I don't want to call them mannerisms, but I haven't forgotten a new word to say yet, but these mannerisms and this communication that nature is trying to have with us, we need to learn those languages again. And we're definitely heading that way. As we get more people within, you know, the regenerative world of permaculture, so many different people are integrating this into their disciplines.
Yes.
And it's opening up whole new pathways of the world interacting.
Yeah, even just that worldview, it's a broader scope, it seems, just understanding that nature is something that can be communicated with and understood rather than dominated.
Exactly. And looking at COVID as that was born from nature.
Yeah.
That was born from animals. What is it trying to tell us?
Yeah.
We're polluting our airways and the first way we're going to die is from lung exposure. We have to breathe every day. This is a weak point. My dad's a microbiologist. I can tell you now that he probably gets more cases of people getting sick and infected for the facial region, for your nose, for your mouth, because it's the most open passageway to get sick.
Yeah.
And when our body is trying to tell us something, like we start to cough, we start to get a mucus, we have struggles breathing. There are plants and there are things you can consume to help you resource better.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. So
it's being curious about what your body's trying to tell you. You're getting pimples. Pimples are a really diverse thing. Like, I would definitely go like chat to someone who could lead you on a path to get you closer to to fixing that.
Yeah.
But like these things where you're just having like a sore stomach, like start with a digestive thing like ginger. Ginger is a great like anti-nausea, like digestive herb,
right? Just because of how it interacts within our bodies
and feeling it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Where are we up to? We number 11. So use edges and value the marginal. So okay. So it's like, what does that mean? So let's just imagine there's like, this is the metaphor I use. It's like we have like a square. It's a perfect square, and that is our property that we live on.
Yeah.
And so it's like looking at every single edge, like every bit of surface area that we have there and using it and valuing it and leveraging what we have in that time and space and how we can use it to really like push the boundaries of what we're doing.
Yeah.
And this can also be used within yourself.
Right.
I always want to pull it back that this is an integration to, it's a culture.
Yes.
There's a culture that's being built around this principle, this framework, because you're making it, how is it applicable to you?
Yeah.
Using the edges, like imagine if every human used every single neuron, every single muscle, every single like breath to like induce radical positive change in the world. Yeah. Imagine if everyone did that right now, how different would the world be?
Yeah, very different.
Exactly. It's like, that would be really hard to do.
Yes.
But imagine if that was our intention.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much wasted space, it seems, that we could start to use. And I love that.
And the distractions.
Yeah. Distractions for sure.
The distractions from who we are and what we can do.
Yeah.
And even societal things telling us that we can and can't do things.
Yeah.
How many people out there need help right now? Just knowing that they are freaking awesome.
Yeah.
They are a unique human, and the chances of them being alive statistically through science is literally, you are more likely to get struck by lightning 4 times.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Look in the mirror, look yourself in the eyes and know that you're freaking awesome, everyone.
Yeah.
Love yourself.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And the last point is creatively use and respond to change. So that's somewhat self-explanatory of itself, but it's just like, constantly remembering that following a guidebook that the government, I mean, this is some of the reasons that I left the corporate world, is everything is in a book and you have to follow the guidelines of the book.
Yeah.
And sure, there's a lot of innovation that happens within that book, but you are constrained to only doing those things. We are humans. We can literally create and do anything. But if our intention is the values of permaculture, earth care, people care, fair share, and we have all these frameworks, these 12 principles that we live by, and plus other tools that we use. This is one unique perspective that could add to your life. Use those other amazing tools. I use my design tools to integrate with this, and it just becomes another thing in my tool belt.
Yeah.
And then we creatively use our unique perspective, our own emotional scars, our own pain and suffering that we've gone through, has given us this unique perspective on the world to respond to change.
Yeah.
And this is so important. Like one of my mentors, I did an art course with two of them actually in Putamona at the Permaculture Center. And as we did this art course, a lot of like meditation through painting, a lot of things came up. And I just hit this brick wall one day, and he just said, after having this like 2-hour discussion, he's like, what if every single bad thing that happened in your life was, you know, your gold?
Yeah.
What if that was where you could change the world? And so me and him wrote down this thing, and I've still got it written in my journal. And it just says, if we could leverage and change the way that we see our faults and kind of tweak them in our mind and integrate them in a way that was, you know, a beautiful way to see the world through those faults,
yeah,
we could radically change the way we could see our problems.
Yeah.
And we would see every single problem as a blessing.
Yes.
And then we could push that back into the world as our authentic self.
Yeah, I love that. So changing our perceptions and actively practicing how we perceive things so that we can make a positive impact and actually move forward.
Yeah, but also like the negatives, just changing that mindset that it is a negative.
Yeah.
It is just like how these weeds are trying to tell us that our soil is horrible. It's life.
Yes.
It is life throwing something at you, and every single, you know, there might be a lot of shit. Like I know a lot of people have a lot of bad things happening to them and it just keeps happening, and that's rough. I've had a chat with a few people, I just had some mentoring sessions with them, and they're going through a lot. But in that conversation, I didn't give them all the answers. Mm-hmm. I just shifted their perspective, and they became their own masters of their situations. They own all the power and the energy in the world to change their situation around. All they need to do is connect with what's like happening here at the body's center. And that's beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. That's amazing. Speaking about unique perspectives, what are some perspectives that you've carried across from design and the design world and tools you use from that and you apply to permaculture that perhaps you didn't necessarily get from permaculture?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. I think one of them would have to be that, let's just think about a thought, right? Let's just think about a thought real quickly. And we'll set like a blank, like black space.
Yeah.
And then I want everyone to kind of just clear their head and let's just think of an apple. And what does that apple look like? You know, it's got those reds and it's got that little brown thing coming out top, but then like those little dots that those apples have on them. And it has that little, you know, it all has that like contouring kind of like infinite kind of sloping into the center of it. And then underneath it, it's got those four little bumps. And then it's got those little brown, little leaves on them. And we like keep pulling that back. And so that's the way I see the world. I see it through visualizations.
Right.
I see ideas as physical objects.
Yes.
I see objects as having a flavor. I see visuals as a stimulation of colors, and like the colors then like become, you know, something deeper. And so I like to think that I think too much. I think everyone thinks too much. But in the time when I pull a lot of intention back to what I'm thinking about, the clarity of an idea could be really awesome. And so I think pulling ideas from our head into the physical world as a job, becoming like just words, like a thought, just a neurological pulse in someone's brain and connecting up the nervous system, and then a thought coming into someone's head and then going, this would be a really cool idea. I think this would change the world. I was in a lot of rooms where that happened. And look, they weren't going to change the world. They were just in my particular set of skills within my job requirements. But now moving away from the guidelines and the contracts and all those things, every idea has its merits.
Yeah.
Every idea can be pulled from the mind into the world in any way. And so the design mind has really helped me with the feasibility and the how to implement an action.
Interesting. So you have that vision and you see that, and then you immediately are able to kind of visualize how would I go about bringing that into reality?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And that's from like an ergonomic point. So that's human interaction. Yeah. That's like, you know, is it sustainable? Is it like, these are all design principles. Is it intuitive?
Yeah.
You know, are you actually designing it with intention to actually do something in the world?
Yeah.
You know, these principles very closely align, but I think the perspective of the permaculture principles connects it more to the mind, body, soul.
Yeah.
You know, it's an integration of the physiology and the mind and the spirit.
Yeah.
With the very engineering, ideation, the neurology, really, if you think about it, the neurology of how designs come into the world.
Yeah.
And so this is beautiful kind of, you know, this double tipped trident that I have. And I hope to turn that into a multiple tip trident one day. So I can just be walking around with my unique ideas and perspectives and help the world from my own unique perspective, just like how everyone else is walking through this world. Maybe they're not fully connected, but I think, as I said earlier, the nature is our greatest teacher.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. That's great. Awesome perspective. Going back to something you said earlier that interested me, which was talking about the soil health in Australia, and it's like pretty bad. Is that due to just the nature of our country, or is it due to agriculture? Like, why is our soil health not so good? And also, what's one thing that we can do to maybe move towards regenerating it?
Okay, well, that I'm definitely not a soil scientist. I did meet a soil scientist while I was in Costa Rica. He teaches at a university. So he gave me a lot of insight into just the 101s of soil. Soil is very complex, but also very simple.
Yeah.
Once again, you know, so the main problem is, I think, is that we have a lot of natives here, which are considered to actually be weeds.
Right.
So eucalypt. Think about the eucalypt. It drops all its leaves around its base and it goes, no one else grow here. This is for my babies.
Yeah.
And then a fire comes along and all those babies pop out and it succeeds.
Yeah.
But there's not much diversity.
Yeah.
Interesting. And that's mainly because of the eucalypts. I think, you know, in these more barren lands, but not in the valleys, more likely in like the more barren things where it's dust, there's not much diversity. There's not a humongous thing we can do about it, but we have a lot of usable land. Like a lot of the majority of Australia is actually desert. We have a lot of usable land and there's a lot of perennials. For example, they use moringa in Costa Rica as this beautiful like soil healer, and they place them around the permaculture farm to constantly help with regenerating the soil.
Mm.
And this is a very interesting conversation. And I think what I realized after coming back from Costa Rica is there's so many freaking awesome people moving through that space that I need to find those people here so we can have the conversation about how we're going to tackle these things. But I do go to plantings. Like, for example, Newcastle, as you know, was born from the industrial age, and there's a lot of land that has gone south because and like how we treated the land in that time. We've ripped it up, we've mined it, we've done all these things. And there's a lot of amazing humans and community groups that are helping to restore the land with native plants.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's one place we should start looking at what we did in the past, where the land is struggling, and trying to understand how we can bring diversity back to those areas on these coastal regions where we live, we breathe, we swim in the water. We go out into nature. We go to picnics, places where that's everyone here. It's everyone in the world, really.
Yeah.
So it's just like our media areas. To be honest, our urban plots of land around us, those are places we can do that.
Yes.
We don't need to have I'm not telling everyone to go build a massive botanical garden.
Yeah.
I'm just asking that you maybe just have a look at your land and go, oh, like, yeah, I do. Like, maybe I will just like I'd love a lemon tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then just have lemons. Start producing your own food. And I think that's probably more like, sorry to veer away from your question. It's just not something I'm not specialized in.
Yeah.
But it's about turning our land that we have immediately around us into productive, sustainable, like beneficial spaces that can actually help the world move forward.
Yeah.
We have so much wasted land here. The land that is actually viable is wasted.
Yes.
So it's really about going back and observing what's going on.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love it. I'll start to wrap up in a few minutes, but are you, when you got back from Costa Rica, you started Urban Botanica. I'd like to get where your vision of where you want to take that and like what's the future of that?
Yeah, so actually I started Urban Botanica in, I think, November 2018. Okay. So that's where it all began. And it all began with terrarium making.
Yeah.
So what I observed was people really struggled with keeping plants alive, and it was deterring them from grabbing more plants to grow, or they'll just keep grabbing them and keep killing them until they became amazing gardeners, because that's the natural progression. If people are motivated and excited to do things, well, that's what's going to happen. So what I did was I started building terrariums, and that became a way that you get this sealed, super diverse ecosystem in a jar. You control water, you design the soil layer, you add in lots of moss, lots of plants, rocks, wood that are all interacting, and charcoal. And there's this biological kind of breaking down. There's the transpiration of water. You can observe nature in a beautiful glass vessel. And so that could be someone's seed in their brain to want to connect more deeply with nature, to go observe this in the natural world. So that's where that seeded from. And then I realized I was popping out, I like doing massive production runs with terrariums, and it was really good, but it was also very draining. I didn't have the team capacity to be able to do that. And then so I started running workshops, teaching people how to do this themselves. And that was very successful. And then I started running plant stores and started collaborating with other growers around in Newcastle. So just building a community. So that was, there's like three things within that. It was, how are we connecting people with nature? So building products. Number two, how are people connecting in with the business? That was through workshops. So there's the human interaction. And number three, community. Everything should be built around humans. What are you providing people? What are you providing the community? And so community-based events, and facilitating a space where growers, people who weren't growers, people who were advanced growers, people who, whatever interest you had in plants, you could come and you could connect with like-minded humans. So that was where I was at before I headed to Costa Rica, and I was like, man, I need to upskill myself. So now coming back, I'm really excited. So my mom is an incredible cook. She cooks the most incredible Indian food. Awesome. And every single time my friends come over, they go, wow, what is this thing? It's freaking delicious. And so this is one of the projects that I have. Like, it's a bit hard at the moment with coronavirus, but it's a project I have that's based around reinventing what food is as a medicine, but for a really cool interactive workshop. So I bring in plants, fresh from local growers, you know, medicinal plants, spices, all these beautiful spices that are now coined superfoods, like, you know, turmeric. Turmeric is like this incredible thing, and they're all from India. So I'm really like, I've gone, dude, my ancestral pathways of being Indian, Indian, Fijian, and Nepalese has given me an incredible insight into be able to produce food in a really healthy way. And so that's a project that I have coming out where I want to hold cooking workshops so people can cook authentic curry that's delicious, and we can build plant-based like integration into those meals, so people can be like, oh man, my digestive system hasn't been great, and then we can build the integration part. And that's what I was talking about earlier. How can we incorporate herbs and medicinal plants into our diet?
Interesting.
So that's like one project I'm really excited about.
That's great.
Number two, I got mushrooms that I'm cultivating. So mushrooms are, that's a new world for me. I did a mushroom cultivation course, like a 1 week deep immersion. So I'm applying now all these skills that I learned to be able to grow fresh mushrooms for myself. And I hope that soon I will be able to start through my dad helping me with his amazing lab. Like, he's so good at running labs now. He's been in the industry for 30 years because mushrooms have to be cultivated in a very sterile environment, but we cultivate them in the jungle. So anything is possible, really, when you think about it. So cultivation of mushrooms and the spreading of spores in Newcastle. I want to be able to sell people I want to sell them spores so they can grow, or I can sell them DIY, like ready to go kits.
Interesting.
So mushrooms are a great source of protein. They also have incredible medicinal effects. I'm not going to go through them because there's so many different types of mushrooms and all of them have their own unique power. So hopefully that's something that they can follow later. And I think finally, like, I'm working, I think, with the design part of it. I'm really working towards some type of consultancy.
Yeah.
So maybe if someone got an urban plot of land, and I'm working with, I have an amazing friend called David. He's from Feedback Organic. He's really changing the whole landscape of Newcastle about organic waste and how it can be reused. And I'm really interested to see if, you know, I want to have the discussion with him about how, or other people in those fields in Newcastle, how we can help people start the journey.
Yeah.
Of being like a comfort blanket, a place where they can talk, come and talk and be like, this is my plot of land and this is what I want to do. This is like the types of things I want to eat. And yeah, how would I do that with this land?
Yeah, interesting. That's cool.
Those are kind of some of the projects. And right now it's interesting because you can't really go outside and small businesses are closed.
Yeah.
So, but it doesn't stop us from creating.
Yeah, exactly. And brainstorming and some of that stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. Love it. So what I like to ask this question at the end of every interview, what is one thing that people can do today to get more connected to nature?
So for sure, like when you get your hands into soil, just like how the microbes are interacting with plants, the microbes are interacting with you.
Yeah.
You know, just like it's just like putting, like, just imagine, you walk out on a Sunday afternoon, you got the sun beaming down on you. We're about to go into winter as well. So getting sunlight and getting outside and getting some fresh air is going to be really important. This is you time. This is time for you to slow down, breathe, and connect with yourself.
Yeah.
So connecting with yourself through plants and soil and growing and the physical sensation, like that is where you're going to have some really good breakthroughs, I think.
Yeah.
With yourself. So, you know, just getting some good soil, having some curiosity about growing some herbs as we move into winter. There is so many different types of herbs we could be growing, but we're going to be moving towards more soup based foods when you think about it, right? Because we're moving into winter and we have to eat things that are seasonally available to us. So we should be growing seasonally available herbs.
Yeah.
And just starting by planting and growing and observing and then interacting with those plants.
Mm.
Like, maybe once they're big enough, just like snapping one little like leaf off it, if it's like a herb that you can consume the leaf, just like eating that and just like slowly eating it, like run your tongue over, like slowly chew it, like taste the different flavors of that herb, feel, and then the sensation that you have after, and like really connect with your food.
Yeah.
You know, and I think growing it yourself, that's one way for you to not only appreciate how long it takes for something to grow, but to observe the whole process.
Yes.
And I think there's something really unique and powerful about growing your own food as well. As simple as it is, even if it's literally chives, guys.
Yeah.
It's like, there is no expectation on you to be this freaking organic, like I'm going to be producing 20,000 cherry tomatoes every year from my plot of land.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be that complex. What is your obtainable yield? What goals do you, if it's just for you to get out on the weekend and get your hands in some soil, that's a win.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it. That's great. Thanks.
Simple. Man. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So where can people find you and get connected with you?
Yeah. Awesome. So, Instagram is urban_botanica_collective. And that's my business page. And I also have on Spotify, the Born from Nature podcast, where you can go in. I've got a whole bunch of very nature inspired discussions, very similar to Jacob here.
Yeah.
And I also have a Facebook page. So you can kind of reach, if you just type me in, you'll find a way to get in contact with me and go from there.
Awesome. Thanks, bro, for coming on and sharing.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, no worries.
Sweet. So as I mentioned, All the links to connect with Monty are in the show notes, so head down there, get in touch with him. Also, let us know what you thought of the show. Take a screenshot of this episode and tag us on Instagram. Let us know your thoughts. Give us some feedback. If you're liking the content that I'm putting out, please let me know by sharing this episode, by leaving us a rating and review, and by subscribing if you haven't done so already. It really helps with getting it out to more people. So that's all from me. If you want to connect with me and find out more about what we're doing with the retreats and workshops and what's going on with my journey so far with Move Wild and what we're up to, then you can also head to the show notes and check all that out. And I will catch you guys on the next episode coming out on Friday. Stay well, keep moving, keep doing the good things that keep us strong and healthy and thriving. All right, thanks guys.